If you have the Holy Spirit in you, can you just put those hands together? Give God praise. Hallelujah. Only if you have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue with our teaching on the Holy Spirit. We've been on this for quite some time, and it's amazing. You know, I've been saved for some time, and the things I hear and I'm hearing through these messages, I've never heard before. Some of these scriptures I've read before, but I've never seen some of these things. Amen? At least long before now, I never knew that the greater one that the Bible has been talking about is actually the Holy Spirit. Maybe you knew, but I didn't. All right? And I've been saved since when? 92. That's a long time not to know. Amen. So, the word of the Lord is new every day. You know, as you grow in God, you increase in the knowledge of Him. The same scripture you read last week, you can come back and the Lord now opens it more to you because now you're ready to receive more. Amen. There are some people that may stay on milk for 20 years and they can't grow beyond that. But when you're ready for the meat and the bone, then the Lord will release it to you. Amen. But He's not going to force feed you. He's not going to make you eat it. But nah, come on. You will choke. You will hurt yourself. Hallelujah. Anyway, so last time I talked about Come Closer. That was the title of the last message I preached here. And that was from the scripture, John chapter 16, verse 7. And because of time, I'm just going to read it straight from the Amplified. John 16, verse 7. You can see that scripture on the screen when it comes up. And I'm just going to go ahead. The Bible says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you. He will not come into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you, to be in close fellowship with you. The very reason the Holy Spirit came is to be in close fellowship with us. Amen. I need to turn this thing off so it doesn't quench the anointing here. Hallelujah. Right? And we saw last time that fellowship, that word fellowship there, it's from the Greek word koinonia, and it means association, community, communion, joint partnership. You and the Holy Spirit being in joint partnership, or joint participation or partnership and intimacy. And that was what we saw the last time. And I said that being in close fellowship means that you have to be available. You have to come. The Holy Spirit is not in relationship with Himself or in fellowship with Himself. It requires you partnering with the Holy Spirit, making yourself available, being willing to have that fellowship with Him. Are we good? Hallelujah. So I said to be in close fellowship means to understand the importance and have and the play and place a high value on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. You are willing to invest the time to maintain communication, and you are ready to do all within your power to avoid things that will either hurt that relationship or jeopardize that relationship. Well, we said all of that last time, and today I want to build on what I shared that time. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading from verse 16. If you're there, say amen. And the Bible says from verse 16, rejoice evermore. This joy is produced by the Holy Spirit, right? Rejoice evermore. Full stop. 17. Pray without ceasing. Our effectual prayer is powered by the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says that it is the Holy Spirit that helps our infirmity. When we are unable to know how to pray, He helps us to pray through, right? So the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Good. Verse 18. In everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. So you are not thankful for sickness. You are not thankful for hardship. But while you are in the midst of it, you have a disposition of thanksgiving. You are not grumbling and asking God, where are you? God, why have you abandoned me? You are thankful to Him. Somebody said, thanksgiving is the highest expression of faith. You cannot thank God without the power of the Holy Spirit. To be in the midst of crisis, it is impossible for you to thank God in the midst of it without the Holy Spirit. Because that problem is real. It's a real challenge. And most of us here, if not all of us, have been through something. And they're telling you, thank God in the midst of it. Give Him praise. Praise does not naturally flow at that time. So it must be the Holy Spirit inspiring praise and thanksgiving. So after all of these things that the Apostle Paul has said to the people, take a look at the next thing he said in verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. The same Spirit that produces joy on the inside of you, that helps you pray and get answers, that inspires thanksgiving on the inside. He said, quench not the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that He is the greater one that lives on the inside of us. Yes. Right? Yes. So how is it the greater one, the one that causes us to rise up like a mighty edifice, that you and I have the power to quench Him? Think with me here. He is the greater one, the might of El Shaddai, the power of God, the Spirit of grace and glory. Yes. Apostle Paul is saying, do not quench the Spirit. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing the power of your partnership, the power of your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Let us look at this in the Amplified. It says, do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. What is, let us give a little definition of that word subdue. It says, subdue means quiet, inhibit, repress, control. Yes. To bring under control, especially by an exertion of the will. Your will comes into play. It's either you are willing or you are unwilling to partner with the Holy Spirit. So your will is very significant in this relationship, in this fellowship. The Holy Spirit is willing and ready. He is here. This is his number one assignment, to be in close fellowship with you. Are you willing to be in close fellowship with Him? He is not going to superimpose His will on you. He's not just going to override whatever you think and whatever you want and just do the bidding of the Lord. No. We're going somewhere with this. In talking about subdue, the definition continues. It says, to reduce the intensity, strength, or degree of a thing. To tone it down. That word suppress, it says, to put down by authority or by force. To keep from public knowledge. So you don't want anybody to know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. So those times when you hold back from praying in the Spirit and moving by the Spirit of God, guess what you're doing? You're quenching the Holy Spirit. To exclude from consciousness, to press down, to restrain from a usual course or action. And it says here again, to inhibit the growth or development of. So every time the Holy Spirit is inspiring you, trying to lead you, trying to teach you, and you turn away from it, you just quenched the Holy Spirit. You just quenched him. It's not, even though, you know, people always want to talk about sin being, but disobedience, not being yielded, wanting to have your way at all times, wanting to do your own thing, even when the Holy Spirit is leading you in a different direction, will quench the Holy Spirit. That is more important to God. The very first sin in the Bible was the sin of disobedience. Amen? So he says, do not quench. How many times have we quenched the Holy Spirit? I'm not trying to guilt anybody into anything. But think about it. This is a real relationship. We talk about the Holy Spirit being a person, the power of God, the presence of God. But we really don't see that much of him in expression in our lives. Why? This is it. This is it. We silence him. But why do we do that? Let us build on this, okay? When the Holy I remember last week, I was doing something, typical example. I was nailing some things down in the main sanctuary there and getting ready for the anniversary. And I was walking around, you know, and I saw this nail that wasn't properly nailed down. It was still protruding up. And I was like, I'll take care of it later. And the Spirit told me, now you think it's very trivial, but this is serious. The Spirit told me, handle that immediately. Guess what I did? I'll take care of it later. Because I thought something else was more important. Why should I be bothered about a nail that didn't go down? And then much later, I saw it again. And she said, nail this thing down. Was I in sin? Was I literally, you know, committing any kind of moral sin? No. It's just a nail. But the Holy Spirit told me, nail this thing down. And I thought, you know, yeah, these kids that are going to be dancing on this stage and then the skit, this might hurt them. I'll take care of it later, though. There's some more things that need to be done. And so I left off and I forgot that day. I came the next day. Now, here I was on my knees, nailing things down, praising the name of the Lord. Oh, my God, it's going to be a great weekend. And the next move I made, I slammed my knee on this nail. Oh my God, you have not known pain. What? Listen, if you had walked into that room, you would have seen me rolling on the altar. Now, typically, you see somebody rolling on the altar, you think, oh man, oh, he loves the Lord. He must be crying out to God for something. This must be a great week. No, I was not crying out for nothing. I was in pain. Now, you know how you know that you've done wrong? You were warned severally. Now, you can't question God on this one. So you're beating yourself up. You can't cry about it because you messed up. I didn't need another warning to take that nail out. Praise God, the pain is gone. You know, my skin didn't break or anything. That shocked me. Like, wow. Now, here I was thinking that the Holy Spirit is telling me something for somebody else. Oh, the children, the skit, all those guys, they don't need to get hurt. Meanwhile, he was talking to me for me. How many times the Holy Spirit tells you something and say, oh, yeah, you know, this is a good word. I need to share some. Take the word the Holy Spirit is giving to you. It is to you first. It is to you first. Act on that word promptly. Hallelujah. And you know, it's interesting. I told the Kimwiwa about this story. I said, oh, he actually warned you several times. Wow. Yeah, he wasn't helpful at that time, really. Woo! My goodness. You know, so that sounds like something very trivial. It's not so serious, but it is important. And that is a simple test. That is the way the Holy Spirit moves. He's not going to come with some background music, maybe the heavenly angels singing some hallelujah chorus, and then he just talks to you softly. You know, no. Most times, the Holy Spirit comes to me with a very harsh tone. Shocks me out of whatever I'm thinking or trying to do. The way he calls my name, I know that this is the Holy Spirit. This cannot be the enemy. Because how can the enemy be talking to you like that? What? Why should I obey you? Say, Emmanuel. I say, okay, I'm done. Amen? Amen. That is the way he talks to me. I'm not saying that he's going to scream at you. But that's the way he talks to me because he knows that's the way he gets my attention. So just because the Holy Spirit is talking to me in a certain way, that is why I'm very, very careful when people are very specific on how the Holy Spirit speaks or moves. Because how he moves in the life of somebody somewhere out there in Asia is totally different. Amen? So let's be careful not to box the Holy Spirit and, you know, it has to be step one, step two. No. Or you have to be in the church first before you receive. No. I receive inspiration in the most unusual places. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's not limit the Holy Spirit. Because that in itself restricts your ability to receive from him. When you say it has to be like this, it has to be like that, then the Holy Spirit can't communicate with you because you're not going to listen. And don't think he's going to be hounding you down. No. But the Lord will orchestrate situations and circumstances for him to get your attention. Then he will speak to you. Many years ago, some people used to say, the Lord, the voice of the Lord or the Lord speak is constantly speaking. You know, you just have to tune into the frequency. No. No. Think about it. Would you constantly be talking to somebody who is not paying any attention to you? You just keep rambling and revealing secrets and telling him a lot of things that he needs for his life, and he's not even paying attention. He's not even on the same channel as you. No. But the Lord will do everything to get your attention. And when he does, he will speak. Amen? And if you refuse to listen, he will be silent until you are ready to listen. Remember Abraham? When Abraham, you know, the Lord had told him, you are going to have your own son. He struck the first covenant, struck a second one, and then Abraham started to roll on the floor and laugh and say, listen, Lord, just leave this thing. Here is this my maid who had a child. Why don't you just bless this one and let's keep it moving? There are a whole lot of, you know. And the Lord went silent for years, did not say anything to him. No fresh revelation, no fresh, no. Until he got to the point where he realized, ah, no, now I know. And then he listened. But clearly at that point, Sarah didn't get the memo. So so she kept laughing. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We all have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us live this life successfully, victoriously. The enemy will beat you down without the Holy Spirit. The enemy will deal with you. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 19, I think it is, chapter 19, one of the early verses, it talks about Apostle Paul seeing a bunch of disciples who had just gotten saved. And he asked, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, holy what? We have not as much as heard that there was a Holy Spirit. They just got saved and you're like, oh, well, let's get going. But the apostle said, listen, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this work. You cannot do the will of God without the Holy Spirit. And we've learned through our midweek services that the Holy Spirit is here to assume the position that Jesus would have had if he was here on earth. Jesus was limited by time and space. You know, he couldn't be here in the United States and be in Africa at the same time, even though he was Jesus. But now the Holy Spirit is available to us here as he is all across the world. So as we are here hearing the word of God and receiving from the Holy Spirit and moving by the Spirit of God, somebody in some remote island somewhere is also being moved by the Holy Spirit and doing wonders. Amen? So the Lord is not restricted to any place. His will is being done all across the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But why is it that if the Holy Spirit is available to us to help us live this life, why is it so difficult to just be yielded to him? Why are we having that challenge? Let us look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 and then we'll skip down to verse 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. King James says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Pause. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Wait a minute. If you are in Christ Jesus, why is the Bible talking about who walk not after the flesh? It is possible that even though you are in Christ Jesus, you still walk under the influence, the dictates of your flesh. Let us read that verse in the Amplified. Amplified says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So your everyday life is inspired by the Holy Spirit. No man, no person lives in a vacuum. You cannot say, you know what, I do not submit to anything. You are under a specific influence at every point in time. So when you say, shush, Holy Spirit, the flesh takes over. Matter of fact, the reason why you are shushing the Holy Spirit is because your flesh was telling you something. Who walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit? So in every time when you are disobeying the Holy Spirit, you are obeying something. You are obeying your flesh. You are obeying something. And no matter what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, he cannot accomplish it in your life at that time. And there are consequences, like you heard my story. Because I shushed the Holy Spirit, because I thought I knew better, I was smarter, I could handle it, I got hurt. So when you shush the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, be silent. I need to do this, I need to do that. there are consequences. Let us roll down to verse 5, and we'll just read this in the Amplified. Verse 5, it says, "For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh." You set your mind, you are carnally minded, you are thinking about this thing, everything you do is produced from your mind. "But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit." The things which gratify the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inspiring every single one of your actions. So being led by the Holy Spirit is very critical. It is very critical for every believer. Take a look, take a stock of your life. Look at the things that have happened through your life. And you will see the moments when you missed it. You will hear, you will see that, oh, the Lord was actually speaking to me here, but I refused to listen. The Lord gave me wisdom here. But I said, no. Everybody is doing this, so let me do this. Huh? Remember, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. So he gives you superior wisdom, and you said, no, everybody is doing this. This is the way to make it. This is the path to take. And just because every other person is succeeding doesn't mean that you will succeed. Hello? Just because everybody is passing through this way. You know, my wife always says this thing to me, and wow. Charlene tells me, you know, sometimes when, you know, especially when we're on the road, because I like to pick up the speed, you know, just, you know, test that car, test the limits, you know, just see what it can do, you know, just move. I mean, at the open roads. Why limit this vehicle? Huh? Why put a limit on this thing? And just about the time when I'm about to push it, and somehow her eyes dart to, and she's like, "Listen, just because every person is just speeding on this place and breaking the law doesn't mean that you should." Huh? They may not be caught. And you know, the weird part is, I'm telling her, listen, just be on the lookout, okay? Just wear your glasses and be on the lookout. Let's do this. That's why she takes out her glasses and goes to bed. It's like, nope. So she refuses for me to subdue the spirit at that point. So we give God praise. Amen. But you know, the Holy Spirit is amazing. He is here to help us. He is here to help us do the will of God. The Bible says that he is here to guide us into all truth. He's here to be our standby, our intercessor, our counselor, our strengthener. If he is doing all of that and more in our lives, then why listen to your flesh? Why pay so much attention to your flesh? The Bible says in the book of Galatians that if you sow to your flesh, Galatians 6, you will of your flesh reap corruption. But they that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life, right? So the reason why we are being led by the flesh all the time is because we have made so much investment in the flesh. We have been feeding this flesh. This flesh is crying out, "Listen, let me express myself. Give me what I want." So you get overwhelmed by it. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, it says, "Walk not after the flesh, or rather, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the dictates of the flesh." That is the solution. You are being led by your flesh all the time. The Bible says, switch it around. Renew your commitment. Renew your relationship. Reenact that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the flesh is dead. Because there's no room where the Holy Spirit is leading you constantly that the flesh will have its way. Not to say that you will not be tempted. But that temptation will have no power over you. Galatians chapter, Romans chapter 6. Let me just quickly go there. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under grace, under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? You yield yourselves servants to obey. His servant you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So guess what? You are led by your flesh. You are a servant of your flesh. Your flesh determines where you go, what you do, where you shop, what you eat. Your flesh is constantly dictating to you. And that is not the life that God has called us to live. The Bible says Jesus Christ was tempted at all points, yet without sin. He was tempted, but he didn't sin. Why? Because of the Spirit of God that he had upon him. Amen? And we are called to live the same life and even greater. So it means we are able to live above the temptations and the dictates of the flesh. Here on earth, yes, it looks like, you know, the sin is literally, or the temptations are literally at our doorstep, in fact, in our homes. But yet, because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that we have on the inside, because of the continued fellowship that we have with the Holy Spirit, we cannot be overrun by our flesh. It's such a challenge these days when you flick on the TV. You know, you want to just relax to a show or a movie, and it's just so difficult to get through one. You know what I mean? If you check some of these streaming channels that I have, most of the shows or movies are halfway watched because you stumble on something and say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I can't do this. But that is, and the enemy has brought it into your home. And then you say, you know, I'm just going to power through this thing. You know, let's just keep going. But guess what you're doing? You're feeding your flesh. You are listening. Says, I mean, oh, no, it has no influence over me. Well, keep watching. Keep watching. The very thing that never felt like anything to you, that you were never tempted by or moved by, all of a sudden, now it's like the scales fall off your eyes. Amen? Why? Because you are not about the fellowship and about the business that God has called you to do. Remember, you know, I heard this thing recently about David. David, it says, at the time when kings were supposed to be at war, the man decided, you know, I'm just going to remix the will of God and just stay at home. And that moment when he made that decision to go against, he saw somebody showering. Yes. And brought crisis to himself. If you are being led by the Spirit of God, doing the will of God, not your own will. Let me read something before I close here right now. I know it feels like I'm all over the place, but listen. Just get what you can get from this message. Yes. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 13. This scripture hit me recently this year, and wow. Verse 13, it says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, you got it? It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to
do his good pleasure. Put that in the Amplified for me. We're about to close in a minute. The Amplified. It says, not in your own strength. The Lord is not asking you to bring your strength or bring anything to the table. He says, just make yourself available. Submit your will to him. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his what? Pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Whose pleasure is being fulfilled? So if God is investing energy in you, strength in you, power in you, is it to do your own will? So the moment you decide, you know, I got this, power is withdrawn. Grace is withdrawn. Ability is withdrawn. It's all a matter of time. And when you crash, you now realize, oh my God, it's been God all the while. Listen, your intelligence and your giftings, your natural giftings can take you higher, can bring you before people. But that grace of God, the Spirit of God, will open unique doors, will cause the ease of God to come into your life. It will not be a struggle. You won't have to get into compromise to attain the purpose of God. God is trying to fulfill his divine mandate to expand his kingdom through you, and he cannot do it when you are full of compromise. He needs to get the glory out of your life. So don't try to do it by your own strength and your connections. If he opens the door, walk through it boldly. As the very first message I heard our senior pastor preach, he was talking about, you know, not all open doors are of God. That thing shocked me. 2011. Not all open doors. So don't go forcing doors open. Let the Spirit lead you. If you try the door and it's not open and the Lord says, listen, bust it open, then bust it open. But if the Lord says, listen, turn away from that door, don't force it open. Let it go. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll tell you this story and we close. It has really not much to do with anything, really. But it's an experience I had just to help us understand that, number one, that we cannot fake the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is of no benefit to you or me. You can't fake it. It has to be a real experience. And the more you fellowship with him, the more you grow in him. In the year 19... Okay, don't look at me. It's like some ancient person. In the year 1989, I went to spend some time with one of my aunties somewhere. And this particular weekend, they had this revival service, you know, somewhere back in Nigeria. And they dragged me along. So I went. And it was a great service. I can't remember what was preached. I was very young. But at the end of the day, they said, let, you know, everybody should come out who needs to receive the Holy Spirit. This is a huge church. I mean, just to be conservative, about 100 people came out to the front. And I was amongst them. You know, even if I wanted the Holy Spirit or not, my aunt said, go and get the Holy Spirit. So I went. And I was there standing, obviously not in front because I needed to understand what was going on. And I was observing. And we had to line up. There were several lines there. And I was standing watching, not at the back, just somewhere in the middle. And you come to the front, you kneel, and they pray over you, and you receive the Holy Spirit. And I noticed that when you receive the Holy Spirit in this place, you have to fall out. So you fall, probably shout, maybe roll a little bit, then you got it, and then maybe you can leave. Okay. Young me standing there, just observing, but in my heart, I wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. I said, man, listen, this must be some good stuff, man. If it's making people fall around like this, let me get it. So it got to my turn. I knelt down. I was so sure. Oh, I'm going to get this power. And I didn't get anything. Nothing pushed me. Nothing. I didn't even feel the hand of the preacher who was. I was so mad on the inside of me. Now the numbers are beginning to thin out. We now have about 20 people left out of 100. Listen, maybe you don't understand. In Africa, if you do not receive the Holy Spirit, at that time, you don't receive the Holy Spirit, you move from trying to receive the Holy Spirit to deliverance class. You need to be delivered from something. Something is wrong with you. How can you not receive the Holy Spirit? There's something, you know, some marine devil operating in your life. And listen, I am not about to start going through all of that. You know, I just came here to have enjoy my holiday with my aunt. God forbid, report goes back to my father that this guy has a demon. It's not happening. So, just about the time he was thinning out to about 10 people, this lady next to me fell out. I say, listen, well, Holy Spirit, activate. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this. And before the hand of this man could hit me, oh, man, I deserve a Tony Award. Because, listen, I hit that ground. I was rolling. I was screaming. All the dust all over. Because this is just, you know, no carpet. Dust all over me. Listen. Nobody else received the Holy Spirit there more than me that day. This story, I've only told my wife this story. Woo! And that family never knew I didn't receive anything anyway. Because listen, and of course you have to stay on the ground for a little while so that, you know, they will think that, oh man, you're just marinating the whole presence. And yeah, no, when I got up, I just walked so gently, dimmed my eyes a little bit, you know, like the weight of the glory. No, I was very young, but I observed. I just needed to get away from that place. I was hungry. I was tired. I needed to sleep. This is about 9, 10 p.m. A little boy, what am I doing here? Listen, I did not receive. Let's try some other day. You say, no, I must receive. Well, hey. So I received something, all right. I gave them something and I left. But after that day, I never heard anything else about the Holy Spirit. I didn't think anything of him. Nobody told me anything about him. So I had no fellowship, no relationship with the Holy Spirit. Fast forward 1992. Here in a service, and I gave my life to Christ again and came out, and they took us outside, and all this preacher needed to do without even laying hands, just say, receive the Holy Spirit. And there was an outpouring, and I started to pray in the Spirit. It was an amazing experience. I wanted to know more. Now that was a real one. And that desire on this side, on the inside of me, I needed to know him more. I needed to experience this Spirit more. And I continued to grow every day, walking with him, praying in this new language. Remember, the tongues is not the Holy Spirit. It's just an evidence. It's a heavenly language you speak. All right? And that experience totally transformed my whole life. My whole journey. And here we are, 2022. I'm still learning and trying to understand who he is. Isn't that amazing? All these years. Now, I could have stuck with, well, listen, I received the Holy Spirit sometime. You know, I fell. You know? But that was not real. So is your relationship real? Did you actually have an encounter? Are you constantly seeking to know him more? Listen, you will make mistakes. I already told you I refused to listen to him just last week. Okay? So don't dwell on the mistakes and the moments when you didn't hear well or you didn't obey. Just make a note of it and grow from that point. Get to understand and know how he speaks. Because you may feel, I'm too busy. I don't have time. Listen. Try to pause. In this world where everybody's moving, you got to do it right now. Everything has to be da, 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 da. Listen, slow down. Slow down. Slow down. I can tell you so many things I wanted to do at the beginning of this year. I think I shared a little bit with Dikinute. The struggles, I wanted to launch out a few things, do a few things. And the Holy Spirit said, no. I was so frustrated. I was like, why? I'm losing time. Now I understand. Because suddenly some things have happened. I'm like, oh my goodness. If I had done those things, it would have set me back terribly. I would have been in trouble right now. That is the Holy Spirit. In the moment, it feels like this is the right thing to do. Everything looks right. It doesn't look like, you know, you are trying to go against God. But the Lord has seen ahead. Now listen, what you're trying to do right now, do it for next year. Don't start now. Many years we think our senior pastor is too slow. You know, why can't he just tell me this right now? Why don't he? But the more you grow, and he won't even tell you anything. He doesn't owe you any explanation. But he lets you grow. And the more you grow, you realize that, listen, he's not answerable to man. When the Holy Spirit says, this is what it is, that is when he releases the word. A lot of times when we want to have a conference, I'm winding down, please forgive me. You want to have a conference especially, and I'm hounding him 3 months out or 2 months out. What is the theme? What are we? I said, listen, when I receive from God, you will know. That is why you don't see, you know, announcements way ahead, you know. No. We move by the Spirit. It's not about who is announcing. You know, praise God, you know, people can announce way out ahead. You know, this is what we're going to do next year, November. And this is the theme already. Praise God for them. But right here, the Holy Spirit leads us differently. Remember what I said earlier? The Holy Spirit can lead you differently. He can lead this one differently. Do not try to imitate. Don't try to imitate somebody's, you know, somebody speaking in tongues in some type of way. I said, you know what? I think this is the one that is more powerful. Let me adopt that language. After all, it's the same heavenly language, right? Let's just incorporate that. No. Grow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you receive something today? Hallelujah. Please rise up on your feet. Glory to God. Rise up on your feet. Let's just give God praise. Amen. The Holy Spirit is so real. He is so real. Oh, hallelujah. We give you praise, God. I just want us to take a minute and just begin to pray out in the Spirit. If you've received that gift, just begin to pray out in the Holy Spirit. Just begin to pray out in tongues right now. Saturate this place. Release those words. Apostle Paul says, I pray in the Spirit, and I pray in my understanding. I worship, I praise, I thank God in the Spirit. So just lift up that voice and begin to speak out. Fill this atmosphere with that heavenly language right now. Let the Lord begin to interrupt and intercept certain things in your life. Makabrahazo predish nepalikata. Ikabrahande de gabaligado shatalika prahaka palikato Lepahanzin de Bredish Nepaligada Brahaka Palabodogado. Makoto Brahaka Paligata. Ikata Brahaka Paligadiga Diga Baligado. Mando Breheke Paligadiga Diga Palabodogado. Jantaligata Brahaka Payagata. Ikata Brahaka Paligadiga Palabodogado. Lebrahan Diga Paligata. Ikata Brahaka Payagato. Mazoto Breheke Paligadiga Paligada. Yandiga Diga Palabodogado. Shatalaga Brahaka Payagata. Makabrahaka Palabodogado. Sopreheke Palabodogado. Librahan Diga Palabodogado. Soto Brahaka Palabodogada. Lebrahan Diga Palabodogado. Shaprahaka Palabodogada. Ikata Brahaka Palabodogado. Sotoko Palabodogada Brahaka Payagata. Lord, we thank you. Fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Anoint us afresh, oh God. Oh Lord, we thank you, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, move in your own way in our lives. Do your own thing in our lives today in the name of Jesus. Express the will of the Father in us and through us in the name of Jesus. Fulfill the divine purpose of God in our lives and through us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, God. We thank you, Lord. We are yielded. We have totally yielded to you, Holy Spirit. We submit our will to you, Holy Spirit. Our ears are attentive to you. We listen out for your voice. We will be inspired by you. We listen out for your voice. When you say, this is the way, walk in it, we will go. We will go where you lead. We will do what you instruct. We will say what you once said in the name of Jesus. And just like the Lord, we say, not our will, but thine be done in the name of Jesus Christ. We are here to do the will of God. We are here to fulfill the mandate of the kingdom. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Our lives are radiate your glory. It will radiate your glory in the name of Jesus. We are growing and increasing in this grace. We are growing and increasing in this grace in the name of Jesus. And this grace will cause us to be distinct in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening the doors that ought to be opened. For shutting those doors that ought to be shut. In the name of Jesus, we submit to you. Move us, rule us, inspire us, guide us, instruct us in all things. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We receive your wisdom. We receive grace. We give you glory, God. In the name of Jesus. No longer shall we be ruled by our flesh. No longer shall we be moved by what we see, hear, feel, touch. We are moved by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. And we are constantly in the center of the will of our God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Put those hands together and give God praise. Give him glory. Give him all the honor. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Have you been blessed today? Yes. Glory to God. Amen.